Hello everyone, I'm Louis Vargas and you're listening to episode 31 of the Art Team Podcast. After a long summer hiatus, I'm glad to welcome you all back with a brand new episode, and today's guest will be Mark Saab from the Museum of African Diaspora here in San Francisco. But before I introduce Mark, I wanted to tell you all about Bay Area Now 8, which is the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts signature triennial. The exhibition will showcase visual artists in a broad range of creative practices, and for the first time ever, will include architects and designers. The show opens on September 7th with a big party at 7 p.m., so for more information, check out their website at ybca.org. All right, now on to our guest today. Mark Saab is currently the Director of Marketing and Communications at the Museum of African Diaspora, or MOAD for short. But aside from his day job, he also has established himself as a cutting-edge digital artist in the Bay Area. So today on the podcast, you'll hear Mark discuss the type of work he does for MOAD and the experimental internet platform and artist collective he founded known as Felt. He'll also talk about the craft of digital art making. So now, here's our conversation. All right, Mike. Well, thanks for coming on to the podcast and finding the time to meet with me. I wanted to start with, what is your position again here at the Museum of African Diaspora?
Yeah, so I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications here at the Museum of the African Diaspora.
And how long you've been here?
So I've been here now going on my third year.
And you know, one of the things I was interested in was I did a little bit of research on you, and I saw that you also do art yourself, digital art in particular, which I want to talk about a little bit later, because I think one of the exhibitions actually currently on exhibit here at MOAD has to do with digital art. But one of the things I want to start with first is like the most basic thing is, where are you from originally?
So I was born and raised in New York.
Okay.
My family is from Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of grew up going all over and all around New York because my father's family is from Brooklyn. And my mom's family, my father's family is from the Bronx, and my mom's family is from Brooklyn. So because of that, like, I just, you know, like, my cousins were all over the city, and I grew up kind of everywhere. And then naturally, like, as I got older then, you know, like, I would go to, like, parties and, you know, galleries and stuff like that in Manhattan.
So yeah.
It's pretty interesting for me in that way because, like, I grew up being kind of all around New York. And I think also because of that, though, I always kind of always wanted something different, and I felt like the one of the places that I could go that also had like a lot of art and had like a lot of diversity, and you know, kind of reflected, I think, a lot of the values that I grew up with was California. And so I think part of what brought me here was I wanted to do something different, but I fell in love with the art scene here, in San Francisco specifically, and yeah, that's kind of what drew me out here. And I think I've, you know, me being in my position now, I got lucky that it fits into a lot of what I naturally like to do. But really, yeah, my background is kind of interesting in that way, because I also, like, I didn't study art or anything like that. Like, I went to school.
Did you go to school in New York, I would assume, or?
No, so I went to college at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Oh.
Which I mostly went to because I got a scholarship to go there. And it was a really interesting experience. It wasn't an experience that I enjoyed.
Well, tell me about why is that? I mean, like, it sounds like you went there because of the scholarship. Would you have gone there if you didn't get the scholarship?
No. I really have. But you know, the other thing was, to be honest, I don't think that I realized like immediately how well. So when I went there, the reasons why I didn't like it, but it's not that like I hated it as soon as I got there.
Yeah.
What I didn't like about being there after a while was that really it's a really closed-minded kind of society when I was there.
Okay.
And part of the reason why I say that is, honestly, it's kind of one of those schools where, and I think this is most big universities, especially where sports is what is kind of what draws a lot of people.
Yeah.
The culture then becomes very like fraternity, sorority, and that just was not my scene.
Yeah.
And it was not something that that I fit into.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to make like iconoclastic art and really kind of like make stuff that you know, especially being like a, I feel like being like a very young person, yeah. you have like a lot of this like angst, right? Like I just yeah. left being like a New York teenager,
yeah.
and then they kind of like threw me in the South, and I'm like, like, yeah. and so there was, and I think a lot of that energy wasn't appreciated, and I wasn't in a space where I think people were gravitating towards that.
Right.
And so I think, like, that being said, that wasn't the and so I think actually kind of like coming off that, I think I was really very much like looking for a community,
mm-hmm.
and which is what I found,
yeah.
I think, and not even I think, but I know, which I found here in the San Francisco art community. And pretty much after that, like even when I was in school, in college, not liking my environment, I did terrible. I used to come to San Francisco. While I was in college, I mean, I would still come to San Francisco, like, probably, like, every other month and spend, like, weeks here. Just miss weeks
And
of
just
class.
On your own? Or, like, do you have friends that were here?
No. Well, I mean, I gained them, like, right? So I would go to galleries like White Walls or Fecal Face. Or they're kind of gone now. Or, you know, go to, like, the luggage store.
Sure.
And I would just, like, I would hang out and, like, you know, a lot of times there. So the luggage store is like a great example of this. Like I would be over there so much that like I became really good friends with like the owner's son, and then who's an artist himself, Yaro, who now like we're working on stuff that's gonna happen at Swim Gallery. So like I think for me it was just a lot about actually like I would hang around so much I would meet the owners inevitably just because yeah. I would be there like
right.
every day
yeah
because I had nothing to do. I would just be like, I'm supposed to be in school, I really want to be in San Francisco, and I would just come up and meet people. I think also during that time, you know, I think the city was slightly different than it is now. There were a lot more creatives, and
yeah.
there were just a lot more like skate shops and stores and, you know, like people doing independent things. Whereas a lot of those things have moved to LA now.
Yeah.
So I think that also was really exciting for me. And the good thing about San Francisco versus LA, that as a New Yorker, I gravitated towards, I could walk everywhere. Right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, like, I think LA has, even now, I mean, LA has a lot of things, they have a lot of people, but I like walking.
Well,
so it's hard for me.
When you're at UNC, what were you studying? Because,
That was the other kind of interesting. So, I was studying English. I wanted to be a writer. I still do a lot of writing today. I love writing. But while I was doing that, the whole time I was also teaching myself graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
And I also did the same for 3D art and a lot of the digital things that I do. What
drew you to that, like, while you were there? Like, what made you, as someone who's, like, studying literature and writing, like, that, you know, was it somebody you met? Was it, like, something you saw that kind of, like, oh, I want to try do that?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about it is I've always been a digital artist. Like, even, I could say, like, my first, like, you know, like early on, for instance, my mother, she had a like a desktop computer
mm-hmm.
in the house. So from early on, probably I remember like from like one of my first memories were making like, you know, screensavers that people would use. And
yeah.
then like, you know, that turned into so I was like just opening up Paint. And like it's interesting because like, I can't draw well. And I can't paint well. It's taken me to this point in my life to start to even, I think, resemble what I would call photography. It's taken me a long time to even become decent at taking pictures enough where I could start to call it photography.
Sure.
But digital, like kind of like these programs like Paint or like Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
I kind of gravitated towards them really quickly. Part of the thing, too, was that my, I would say, like, everyone in my family raps, right? Like, I mean, like, my parents, my mom can rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just put it like that. Like, I mean, we're New Yorkers, like, for real, right? So it's like they grew up in that. Like, and so I say that to say, so, like, when I was growing up then, that kind of just continued on. And so all my uncles and my older cousins, they were all, like, very serious rappers, especially when I was young. Because they were probably like in their 20s at that time. So when I was young, they were like all like rapping. And so I always wanted to be cool with them. And what I would do is I kind of figured out that I could make album covers, right? Or like make mixtape covers or like make videos or like figure out how to do effects
sure.
if they made videos.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool because like I think me being young person kind of being more willing to like take on how to learn these technologies, and then also just having more time, right? Like I could sit there and figure out like, okay, here's this cool picture. He thinks this is cool. Now let me go and like take the background out and do X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And I just started kind of doing it like that. So so that was kind of cool. Like my family gave me like a way in with that. And because they were rappers, they also knew like DJs and stuff like that who were in the city. And so it kind of, I kind of got lucky where some of these DJs would pick up and they'd be like, oh, hey, do you want to do my covers? A lot of times they would be like when other people who they paid kind of flaked out on them.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, yeah, here's this like 10-year-old kid. He's kind of good with
so
this
So this is like happening like before college.
Oh, this is happening. Before college.
This is like you 10, yeah, like 15. Just, you're like going, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And so that kind of like was naturally and yeah, so like it kept building. I started kind of going to, as being a fan of music so much, I started kind of going on message boards. And most hip hop message boards, they have this, they have like a graphics section.
Sure.
And it's funny because usually they're broke down into like sections. It'll be like beginner, intermediate, and pro. And I used to always try to post in pro first, and they would move it to beginner. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess that's where I'm at. But I always remember like the day where I would keep posting beginner, and then they moved it up to like intermediate or to like pro. And then that kind of just gave me the confidence to keep going.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of these, so in my teenage years, I did a lot of like random like hip hop underground like album covers and stuff like that.
Sure.
I still do a lot of that like work now, kind of way more selectively, because I look at it more as like art now. I, like when I was that age, I mean honestly, I didn't even really understand the concept of like art, right, which is like interesting. I don't come from a family like, there's a lot of artists and creators in my family, but right, they wouldn't call themselves artists.
Right. I was gonna ask you that. Like I guess like, I mean, I would assume they call themselves artists in the terms of music.
Yeah,
what we term like musicians and stuff, right?
Yep.
And rap artists and whatnot, but not necessarily in the traditional visual. What we visual artists?
No, and that carries a certain like kind of attitude and perspective, right?
Sure.
Like, someone who's making, you know, what's traditionally is considered pop music, even consider themselves different than someone who makes like experimental music, right?
Yeah.
And like they definitely would think of themselves more in the tradition of like a pop artist than like, you know, someone who's like a musician for like art's sake. So I think that's been like an interesting thing that I've developed kind of on my own, is like this consciousness or whatever of like this kind of like oh, we're artists, right? And like I've kind of had to go back to them and be like, you're an artist, like, you know, claim it. But yeah, so that's really how I got started in it. And then kind of going over to things like 3D, honestly, that was mostly because that also is like directly relates to music. There was this music genre that I was just kind of like, got lucky to be, this is where being in North Carolina kind of worked out. So if we kind of fast forward to college, how I get involved with like 3D art and what people call internet art now is there was this movement, music genre called Vaporwave.
Mm-hmm.
And as this genre kind of, and if you just looked up the genre now, a lot of the aesthetics are still very similar. As it kind of came up, it kind of was like this mesh of like retro feel and like 3D art. And really the point of the genre, it's sample-based music. It's music that's very popular on like SoundCloud and like on like Facebook and like Twitter and stuff like that. I was around really, and felt was being created around the time that, the same time that this genre was being created.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that we were in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and a lot of the people that were responsible for making the music, and they just happened to be really popular online at the time, were actually in the mountains of North Carolina. So they were in like Asheville and areas like that. And once again, me being a terrible student, I wanted to take trips there to Asheville. Also, if you kind of know North Carolina, Asheville is like the closest thing to like, you know, like liberal culture.
Okay.
And pretty much all of the Carolinas in that area. It's like kind of like the place where they're definitely the most progressive. It's
right.
Like the blue spot
right.
on the
like
map
they're there. Boulder, Colorado. They're
yes,
like,
yes,
right,
that's
right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. You know, it's like the kind of place where they have a drum circle every Friday, like super hippie, right? So it was like, so that was also kind of my like safe place in North Carolina too, right? And so we would go there a lot, and it was really cool because, like, as this music got popular online, that created a space where a lot of the visuals I was creating, so it was like covers or music videos, all these things started to also become big and start to like actually become kind of like this whole new visual language.
Sure.
So that's kind of how once, and then so that's, and really the whole idea of using 3D programs, especially like these free 3D programs, which is what I mostly use, came from that scene because yeah. a lot of because it, and it's really interesting to say it kind of just like happened naturally, and it's so it kind of was like that kind of thing. I think it was a lot of artists who were working in like Photoshop, kind of just trying to like work together, figure out something new, and it really just caught on like wildfire. Just, and I think it was that combination of like having like a new music genre and also having like these new visual styles. And then these kids just kind of like ate it up.
So tell me, like, at one point, because what is really crazy to me is like yeah. you don't really have family in San Francisco. You don't really have like friends that had already moved here that you knew mm-hmm. from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. But here you are going to UNC. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I grew up in San Diego, and yeah. I never once was like, you know what, I'm just going to go to San Francisco because I need to go check it out yeah. and fly up there for a little bit or even just drive up. Yeah. So, like, what was it when you're going to school, you know, was it a movie or something that you were like, San Francisco, what yeah. is this place? And let me go fly out there and see it.
So, you know, I think a large part of it, now that I think about it, I think a large part of it was that was that gallery Fecal Face and the blog that they had
yeah.
and the website they were running. Because a large part of what they would also do is a lot of the, because you know what was great about the gallery, and this is what I try to do too with my work, is that I think it's really amazing when people have a space
yeah.
and have a name, and then they're also very, they also seek new artists, right?
Sure.
So there were artists like Henry Gunderson or Mario Ayala, like the Lost Bros, and like, you know, Erlen Geffard, who like, these people became my friends because when they had shows, Fecal Face, they were like still students
yeah.
and I was a student. And so I was able to reach out to them and just be like, hey, we're students. I'm trying to do this digital art thing called Felt. I don't even know what I'm doing, but
yeah.
I saw you were in this really cool gallery that I like. And so I think that was like a large part of it. I think it really was the gallery scene that existed here at the time. I mean, Fecal Face probably the big one, but
yeah.
I mean, but I think that's also, I mean, not that this is your question, but I think that's what keeps me here now is that I feel like, so, and like you said, like I didn't have people here, but what's interesting is that like the person who's an artist named Luis, and we work really together, a lot together, even still to this day, we moved out here together. There were probably like three or four of us who came here together, like right from college. And like all of us were very like active participants and followers
sure.
like in the scene. And so for us, I think it was just like the attitude of the art scene here that
yeah.
drew me here, because here you can be an artist and be politically active, right?
Sure.
And I think that in a lot of other places,
like you don't think that's the case in New York.
I don't think, and not at all.
Okay.
And I think that in a lot of ways that other places, they kind of, if you're an artist and your focus is community,
yeah.
I think in some other places that's seen as like kind of like a knock against you, right? It's kind of like, like it'd be better if you focused on your art and if you got these messages out through your art specifically.
Sure.
But in the Bay Area, you can wear your politics on your sleeve. They could be a part of your art clearly. And I think people actually appreciate that.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. And I think that's a part of what, not even a part of, but that's really what made me be like, okay, like I want to be a part of this scene in this world, because it is very much about accessibility.
Sure.
And it's also just, I mean, like, I think if you want to do art here in the Bay Area and you're not actively making political statements, you're probably going to get called out. About that.
All right. So you graduate from school.
Yeah.
You come out here.
Yeah.
So what's one of the first things you just, you know, what's your plan? What do you decide to do when you're here?
Yeah. So I have this thing where like I often just go do things and I'm like, yo, I'm going to figure this out. honestly, and that's really what I did. I mean, like I got here and when I first got here, I really, really wanted to get into design.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to be a graphic designer here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it meant something to me. And that's what I did. I mean, I pursued jobs in graphic design and I worked as a graphic designer for about maybe a year or two.
I mean, and how were you able to do that? Even the portfolio. I mean, I would assume like just from your own work, because you know, you had a literature degree. It wasn't like you had a graphic design degree from RISD or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that was your portfolio was big enough by this point enough to impress people to get these jobs.
Yeah. I mean, like I would say like that's kind of been the thing for me is like I think pretty much like early on, I mean, even though I didn't do very well in school, my like a lot of friends of mine did, and a lot of people around me did.
Sure.
You know, like me and my wife met in college, and like she did extremely well. Mm-hmm. And so like I've always seen, especially from her, like I saw like she's a very like, we're kind of like total opposite side of the spectrum. Like I will not prepare for anything, and she'll prepare for everything. And so like we wanted to move here, and like she had a job here like 6 months before we moved, right? Like she's like that person, right? And part of that, like part of seeing that, like it kind of like, I think one of the things I learned from her most is like, it's cool if I kind of want to be like this person and do things my way, but then I have to have something to show that I'm not just wasting time. And so that, so I would say like, even when I was like traveling to San Francisco, or when I was like going to a lot of places, like I did a lot of work, like even promoting other artists, right? So I would help them with their flyers. Or like I said, I had so much album covers or music videos. Around that time, like I would try to help people like create websites, right?
Sure.
So if there was a gallery who I did happen to talk to, and I could be like, hey, like let me redesign your website, or like let me just do a little bit of design for you here or there. I actually was able to build out a portfolio that was pretty strong. And kind of like that's kind of like how I moved along. I mean, like I think part of my thinking is I think that a lot of people who go to like school for things, their advantage, and like they become like they get all this knowledge, right? But I think that like for me, if I don't have that knowledge, I think kind of one of the ways that I can kind of differentiate myself is at least then I know I can be innovative, mm-hmm. right? Like I know it's like it's way easier for me to be innovative and to look at things differently. And so I think that I try to lean into that instead of like maybe like I can't pretend like I got a design degree, right?
Sure.
But what I can do is say like, actually, you know, like I understand writing, like I understand narratives very deeply, and everything really is just a narrative. And now that we know that, then like I do have these design skills. So now really let's put that together. And I think that in a lot of ways, sometimes if you kind of don't have the normal or like the regular makeup, but you can kind of like put in the work and kind of like just get in the door, I think sometimes it kind of helps you to stand out too. So I think I kind of got lucky in that way. Plus, I just think, you know, like design, thankfully, is something where a lot of really great designers are self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's a little bit of a leeway where people can see that you have the passion, can see that you've been trying to learn as much as you possibly can on your own. I think people are pretty open-minded. So I would say, I think it was probably kind of like, I don't want to say easy. It wasn't easy. I mean, it was job searching, right?
Right.
Like it was
right.
hard. It was super hard.
Definitely is not easy to search for a job.
It's not easy. especially not like your first job. And like, I think, but I guess I would say too, part of the other thing is when I was in school, or even when I was in high school, all the jobs I've ever done have always been in media, right? So mm-hmm. like even when I was in college, like I was writing for like fashion blogs and like doing stuff. So I've always kind of had this like media, like anything if it was writing or design, I've always been close to media and like other things. So I think that's the other thing too. Like if people can look and they're like, oh, like Fader or MTV. Oh, okay, great. You know what I mean? Like people, and I think that's the thing. Like I feel like part of it is just culture. Like I think that's something that I kind of, especially like a lot of younger people who try to come intern here, or just people who ask me for advice. Like I think a lot of times cultural knowledge and like cultural, gosh, I don't know. I guess for lack of a word, cultural like experience is actually something that people really value, even though that's not always like in the job description or a part of even what you're doing.
That's so true.
You know?
That is so true. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that because you just reading your CV on your website or just seeing the list of stuff that you did, it's so diverse what you've done. I mean, you've like helped produce music videos, and I feel like, I mean, looking at it, I was like, this is a guy that just wants to like learn as much as possible about everything there is and just kind of know what's up. And yeah. you made yourself so well-rounded that yeah. you're skilled in a lot of things. But you're right. That's a thing that's really important. I mean, it's funny. I just had this conversation with my brother, mm-hmm. my younger brother. My younger brother made a comment, oh, you're 31. Like, why do you know so much about this stuff that's like, you know, high schoolers? I'm like, well, because like, it's nice to know, to be in the know. Yeah. Like I don't yes. want to ever be 50 and then be like, when I say something, people are like, it's outdated. And like, I have no idea or have no context of what's going on. And I feel like we live in this age where information is accessible at our hands.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? There's no excuse for me to not know what's going on.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, like, I think part of the probably one of the most frustrating things for me all the time is people kind of seeing me, or not even just me, but just artists in general one way. Because I'm always like, look, if someone has kind of like the vision and the wherewithal to do like this one thing, if it's fashion or if it's art, they probably do understand something else too, right?
Right.
And so like, if people think of you as a painter, it's actually very difficult to make a film.
Yeah.
Right? Because everybody's like,
yeah.
what about your paintings?
Yeah.
And you're like, but I want to make these films.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I think, I'm always like kind of struggling with. And I'm always like, and it's always interesting in the beginning because like I go to do something and people are like, does this have something to do with that? And I'm like, yeah, it does, but probably not in the way you're thinking,
yeah.
right? And so, yeah, it's always like that. And then, like you said, it's always from culture, and all these things are connected,
yeah,
right? And so it's like, if I'm looking at some like meme online, I am interested to know, like, why are these kids dancing to this song,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Like yeah. why are they even doing these moves? And like, and once you figure it out, it's usually very interesting.
Yeah.
It's a very deep thing, and it connects to something else, and it helps to inform other decisions.
For sure. And all right, so then you work a series of jobs, I would assume, as a graphic designer, mm-hmm. and all here in the Bay Area, I would
yeah.
assume, right?
Yeah.
And so are you still continuing, aside from just doing your work for these companies, mm-hmm. are you still making art, like, you know, experimenting and allowing yourself to do
yeah.
stuff that you're allowed, you can show in galleries or whatever?
Yeah.
So you're still continuing to do that simultaneously?
For sure.
Did you feel like you were still growing at that point too, like in your work?
So it's interesting. Like, I mean, I think for me, the kind of what I've been kind of trying to do, not even trying to do, but what started to happen is that everything has started to really come together, right?
Yeah.
So if it's like my art that I was working on, if it's graphic design that I was doing, and even my job here at the museum, all of these things are actually like so, so much coming together. And
sure.
I think that, which for me is a lot better, and it feels a lot clearer, mm-hmm. Because it's kind of always like that, right? Like, I think for me, felt and like a lot of the art that I do is an entryway for a lot of people to find out about things, but then they'll be like, oh, okay, so like you do work in marketing, or okay, so you understand music, would you be interested in like curating this playlist for us? As those opportunities come up, I think I feel a lot more, it feels a lot more honest when
yeah.
it's connected. And I think that's the thing. I mean, what I've been trying to do is actually make it where, because really, honestly, I mean, like, I love designing, but it can be very frustrating in the sense that you are also always creating what someone else's vision is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I've been trying to do and work towards lately is actually developing that trust and more so working towards ways that I can also push whoever I'm working with or the client I'm working for
sure.
forward as well. And so that's been really interesting. But I also I've also been kind of working in a different sense. I went through a stage, right, probably when I was in like especially my young 20s, where I wanted to do as much work as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I didn't care if people were big or small, whatever. I just wanted to do work. And I thought that was kind of the best way to own my craft and just be active.
Sure.
And I think that worked. And I think for me now, the next phase of that is really focusing on the partners and the collaborations that have made me honestly the happiest,
yeah.
right? And like really building those out and making new art in that way.
Sure.
And part of that has even connected here at the museum, right? So earlier I talked about my friend Luis, who, you know, we moved here together. Now he does programming at the Bayview Opera House. And you know, we did our first Felt Fest there. There's like other projects that we want to work on down the line there. And like, that's a perfect example where, you know, like Luis and I are personal friends. Like when I created Felt, he was right there. He's been a Felt artist from the beginning. Now he's at the Opera House. And now him being at the Opera House, me being at MOAB, we can actually use our institutions to now, like, you know, get grants, work with artists who are even on a larger scale, work with the artists we've always been working with, putting them on a larger scale. To me, I think that's kind of like the ideal way that it works. And so in that sense, we're even being more experimental than we've ever been, right? Sure. Like the art that we're showing is super experimental. Now we're also having to consider, I mean, now we're working on a whole, I mean, we're going from being on like the internet, like on sure. Instagram, to like now, you know, like working institutions. And so, but it all has like that same vibe, right? Like we're all still like, it's still very experimental art. It's still making like subversive political statements. And sure. So for me, that's super exciting to like feel like I'm not changing what I do, but it's still like, but still kind of like growing in its reach.
Well, let's talk about Felt, because you've mentioned it. Yeah. What is Felt?
So Felt is, so it's kind of like, it's this thing that's always changing, but in its simplest sense, it's a, I guess you call it like a media platform and an artist collective.
Okay.
And so both of those things happen simultaneously in a lot of ways. We do like a lot of artist discovery, especially for digital artists.
Sure.
And then we throw a lot of events where you'll kind of experience everything from like augmented reality, virtual reality, it's really interesting, like video art projected, usually some kind of like music performance, usually someone who's like kind of like underground hip hop artist, some kind of underground like house or like techno,
sure.
Like electronic artist in that way. We do a lot of events. We have events in New York, San Francisco, and in LA. We pretty much do monthlies.
Like magazines you talk about?
Monthly events.
Okay.
We do have a digital magazine.
So it's really digital based. Even the art in some way, either musically or visually, digitally based.
Yeah, it's digitally based for sure. And that's not something that interesting. It's not something that we do on purpose. And I would say we're 99% digital. The other thing about it though is that we don't discriminate. And I wanted to say it because there is content that might, you know, come from a different you know, medium, but if it fits content wise, we'll use it. Right.
Right.
So like, there's like post internet artists who paint, but like their content is obviously like, you know, internet inspired and driven. And so those artists we would definitely like support and work with.
Tell me about this a little bit more about the digital art community, because I think for some listeners who are still used to the ones that always get the most popularity, right. Painting, sculpture, whatever. You know, this is something that you've been doing for a while, and you've mentioned improving your craft, right? Yeah. So tell me, what is the craft of digital art making?
Wow. So that's a really good question. The really one interesting thing right now is that the entire craft is so, so like wide open, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have everything from like people working in the idea of like three-dimensional art, and that's just like 3D sculpting, modeling, very similar to how you would think about like sculpture. And then like, you know, the idea of like what people call rendering, which is the which is essentially your computer creating the 3D image based on like, you know, your 3D sculpture you created, the kind of materials and textures that are gonna go on the sculpture you created, and then your computer producing that. There's this idea of also like real time generated stuff that's based on the user, right? So like a VR experience where, you know, like there's this whole 3D environment has been created for me. And now I can like walk through and interact with these objects and live with it. but then there's also like this whole other thing of like browser based art, right? Like art that needs to be experienced by downloading a certain app, even if that app is Google Chrome, right?
Yeah.
There's certain art that is, you know, you need to type in the web address and the like the power of the internet. So like the actual language of HTML is key to the piece, and the way that you interact with it, you need a computer or you need a cell phone.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, like it's so wide open, right? And that's actually one of the I was going through this question recently, and I was thinking about that because that's, for me, it's interesting because I've started to think about, or I used to think about, in some ways, the internet as a medium, right? Mm-hmm. And so that also goes down to thinking about it as simply as videos, right? Let's say take a film. Traditionally, they're filmed in 16:9, right? Because that's what's best for theater. That's what we've been doing for years. But now people are shooting videos in square format, mm-hmm. right? Because they want to post it right on Instagram. Or they're shooting them the long way, vertically, mm-hmm. right? Because they want to post it on stories. And so even the ability, even making an animation, right? Regardless of if you're making it in 3D, even if you're going to draw it, but if you're going to draw it and you're uploading it and you're creating it specifically for Instagram and you make it a square instead of making it 16:9, now you've already started to create with the internet in mind. Right, because
right.
Like, 'cause that's your end goal.
Right, because you're thinking about how it's cropped, knowing that these are the limitations to it. Like, right.
Exactly.
Right, here
exactly.
are the different filters that I can use. So therefore, like, yes. I have to consider that's what it's going to yeah. look like using one of these 14 or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, I would now say that's internet art. Like, mm-hmm. this is digital art, right? And maybe you didn't even get to a digital part until you were uploading it to Instagram.
Sure.
But if your whole process, this was your end,
yeah.
and this is how people are supposed to experience it,
yeah.
then that's what it is, right? And
yeah.
so I think for me, a lot of how I think about digital art is more on that end. I think about it more as a as an end means
sure.
than a beginning point for art. And I think that's what kind of pushes a lot of my practice and my curation as well.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was the other thing I was going to say. So through this, the collective felt yeah. and the platform itself,
yeah.
Is that where you do most of one, connecting with other digital artists like yourself mm-hmm. and also curating shows, I would assume,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Yeah. Cause that's the other thing, right? Like I wanted to ask you was that if was felt kind of created to kind of make, to create a community, because I would assume that not everybody agrees that this is art, right? I would assume you've come across people like that who have yep. told you that. Yep. And I would assume through this platform, you're trying to show like, no, it can be.
Yep.
Yeah, it may be a different type of medium. Maybe it's a new medium they just never thought of that
yep.
could be considered that.
Yep.
But I would assume that was kind of like the goal of this as well, is to kind of to do group shows and show people like, look, here's not only this is art, but here are the different ways of doing that type of art.
Yeah.
By showing different types of artists, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what was really interesting for me even to be in my position today, because a large reason why I started it was thinking that we would never be accepted by museums.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty much
yeah.
like I thought that, really, especially I mean, like, let's say, I guess I started felt like 2011, like, yeah, fall 2011.
Sure.
When I started it, I used to think all the time, like, galleries are never going to show this stuff. I don't even want to think about museums, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I just, like, I was
yeah,
sure
that's a good
of
point.
It. I was
right.
sure of it.
Yeah.
And so that was really a large part of creating it and about
yeah.
pushing it. And, I mean, part of why it also, like, grew was that we found a community that also needed us. Like
mm-hmm.
no one was actually talking about these artists, or no one, I mean, even just the fact that, you know, someone could put out, especially at, you know, 2011, 2012, someone would make these really great 3D pieces and literally just post it on their personal page.
Yeah.
And there was like hundreds of these pages out there.
Right.
And no one was connecting the dots, right?
Right?
No one was saying, like, okay, you're using these same three programs that this person's using. Maybe we should have a place where someone can come and enjoy this kind
sure.
of stuff. And not only that, but where you all can know about each other and follow each other's art and learn from each other.
Sure.
So that was a large part of it as well. It was just kind of, I kind of felt like no one else is going to do this.
Yeah.
This needs to happen. Someone needs to kind of talk about all this art that's
sure.
being made. And then that inspired me to make stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and even what's even crazier, right? I mean, not crazy, really. What's funny about it mm. is that I guess creating a platform like this, which, you know, it's kind of similar to a lot of many other art collectives
mm-hmm.
and magazine platforms and like media platforms like Juxtapose or something like that,
yeah.
Where you had to create something like that, right? And to enable to show people, look, like, yeah, to give it that kind of platform, like, oh, it's just as like, just like this other art has this type of platform.
Yeah.
And you're putting it in galleries and you're having shows. And it's like you had to do that enable for them. They had to see it in like a context of a gallery setting for them to take it seriously. Oh, I see. It's art.
Yeah.
It wasn't just something that some guy did on his computer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which only feeds into, again, the art world, the problem with the art world, one of the many problems with the art world, which I guess is like, what we consider art or good art is just based on whatever is pitched to us through the system of the museum world or the gallery world.
Completely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for me because I think especially also being here now, because I hear those kind of conversations where this is not art or this is not curating.
Right.
And I'm always like, okay, well, you know what? The thing is that if you feel like that, then your terms are just going to become outdated, right?
Right.
And this
is
like, okay, cool. Then don't call, like, if you don't want to call people who post something online a curator, then whatever they're going to be called is just going to be cooler than being a curator.
Sure.
Right? Like, either we can change the word or they're just going to like these people more. Like,
right. Because at the end of the day, it's a word that means you're just like you're just putting things together. Yeah. And that could be applied to so many different things.
Yeah.
So it's not really just exclusive to the museum world.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't create the word curator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. And I mean, I think, I think it's been, and for my own personal journey, it's been interesting because like I went from being very like even like making, felt like feeling like very rebellious against the system. Mm-hmm. And now my pain, like now I almost laugh and I'm like, actually, don't even be like that upset at it. Just do your thing. Like that, like this is actually kind of a joke, right?
Right?
Like you don't actually have to be so mad at it,
right?
Like I think when you're upset at something like that and you kind of always want to fight it, that also gives it another form of credit.
Right.
And I think I've gotten more to the point where I'm like, you know, what we're doing really impacts people. If people want to call this like art, if people want to call this curation, if you want to call this design, whatever you need to call this for it to just, for these artists to go further and, you know, for this to just continue to grow, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And let's just like you said, like let's move forward. Let's meet people where they're at. If you need to see us, you know, in your favorite gallery for you to like respect it, and then now you love it, then cool. Like let's just move this thing forward and make it happen.
Well, let's talk about, you know, we're talking about fighting the system, right?
Yeah,
you're saying,
yeah.
Right? Well, now you're kind of you work for it, right?
Yeah.
So like, how did you go from being kind of a creative director and a graphic designer at companies to that now you're working at a museum?
Yeah. For me, that's kind of how things happened for me. So it came through really working on projects with Felt, right? Mm-hmm. And so like just kind of being here in San Francisco, I was able to plug in with kind of just like a lot of the right people as far as especially like in the poetry scene here in San Francisco and obviously in the visual arts scene. And one of the this writer who I became, who we developed like a really good relationship with, someone I consider a mentor, is a poet named Michael Warr.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, we were working on this grant project together called Tracing Poetic Memory in Bayview Hunters Point. And the project is a multimedia poetry and digital art project. Where we're also just also trying to maintain the kind of cultural histories and legacies that are in the Bayview, especially as it's being like rapidly gentrified.
Oh, for sure.
So that's what a lot of that project was about. Long story short, Michael Warr ended up being the deputy director here at MOAD for about 6 months. And while he was here, part of the what was happening here at the time was they wanted to do this huge transformation into like everything that they were doing with their marketing and with their digital space. So Michael introduced me to our current executive director, who pretty much like Linda Harrison, who pretty much changed the whole direction of this museum. When she got here, we only had like one contemporary art gallery. Now all of our galleries are contemporary art. And just did a lot to just kind of change the attitude and the thinking of what was happening here. And with that, she brought on a lot of new team members and kind of just early on being around there, I kind of was brought in as a part of that team to really lead the way that the museum, everything the museum was doing online and in the digital space, but also kind of like our messaging and our branding as far as we were going to be a contemporary art museum now.
Yeah. What was one of the things that drew you, that made you, when, I mean, I would assume did they offer you a job when?
Yeah. So this was kind of interesting. I had kind of even the process of kind of coming here. I had been, so I was designing and I was pretty happy with it. I wasn't like, you know, like disgruntled. But I definitely was living like I had my work life, like mm-hmm. my design, you know, 9 to 5, like I went in, went out, and then I had my like art life, mm-hmm. right? And then that kind of was how it was. Which in a lot of ways felt like I had 2 9-to-5s. So kind of like as I was going through that, you know, like once again, I would always be at like a lot of art events. And I actually ended up going to an opening reception at the Jenkins Johnson Gallery, which is really close to my apartment as well. So I just kind of had stopped over. And when I stopped over, I had went because Michael had invited me. It was one of the first events that he was doing as a deputy director of the museum. When I went there, I had met two people. I had met our current graphic designer, who was our graphic designer at the time, whose name is Paul. And I had met our executive director, Linda, and I had already known Michael. And honestly, I had great conversations with both of them. Like, I mean, like, incredibly great. I mean, Paul and I have a great relationship now, so, like, now it makes a lot of sense. But then I was like, whoa, like, this was awesome. And I just, like, I had remember saying to him, like, you know, I hope we get to, like, design together, like, work together someday. This was, like, awesome. Sure. Like, this was fun. And I remember even saying to him, I was like, you know, like, because I was designing at the time. I was like, it's really, because... Like, he's not from San Francisco either. He's also from the East Coast. And I was, we had a conversation about how it's exciting to be, you know, graphic designers, especially in San Francisco, where there's so much great graphic designers, so many great graphic designers. And so, so we had a great conversation. I ended up talking to Linda. We had such a great conversation. She made a joke like, oh, like, don't make me steal you from like your current job or something. So then the next day I went back and I was at work and, something on Messenger popped up. Me and Michael talked all the time. So I think Michael had sent me something on Messenger. And I said to him, like, yo, you know, like, thank you so much for last night. It was really great. You know, if anything pops up over there, let sure. me know. I'd be interested. Just whatever it is, just let me know. And he was like, well, actually, Linda and I were talking about you, and I think that there's something that you'd be a really good fit for. So I came in. I interviewed for it. At the time, they were looking for... they were actually looking for like a marketing manager because mm-hmm. I think that's who had previously been in this position. And I think it was just kind of as we talked, Linda kind of, we talked about my background and kind of, so the one thing, my family's from the Caribbean, mm-hmm. right? So like even the idea of the African diaspora is something I've always like very, very clearly like understood and identified with.
Sure.
And so, like, we talked a lot about that and just kind of, like, all of the personal ways that I connected with this position. And then I was like, oh, let's just go ahead. I think we have another director. And I was super excited about that. And then I just hit the ground running and just kind of been, like, going hard ever since. So. Sure.
Well, what kind of thing, yeah. what kind of projects since you started? So, you know, as you're like a marketing and you're like kind of involved in graphic design as well here, yeah. I would assume, right? Uh-huh. What are the kind of projects that they, starting here, they wanted you to really like start working on?
So, like, honestly, I mean, I think this is what's interesting about like our museum and how we work. When we hire someone, we pretty much throw them into the fire.
Yeah.
And then our range here is like really, really wide in what we do. So like, I mean, like within the first 2 months I was here, I mean, we were producing like billboards and like like you know, like BART ads and like our everything in our lobby. I mean, it was like really, I mean, our everything that we do at this museum, our department covers everything from like the design of the like once exhibitions gets like our like which we know what the art's gonna be.
Sure.
We help pick the colors on the walls to just like all the graphics on the walls. It's pretty much everything that you see when you come into the museum, that's not the art itself, is kind of like under our, you know, responsibilities to all of our outside advertising, to all of our emails, all of our social. Pretty much, I mean, if it has our name and our logo on it and it goes out to the public and the public sees it, it crosses my desk in some way.
Sure. So, and what was the directive? Because you were coming on with a director who wanted to change up, yeah, like the kind of what the direction was at the place.
Yeah.
So what was her directive in terms of the, I guess, the outside, what is perceived by everyone outside of the museum of what this place is and will be?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, so I would say that that's an interesting question to answer for us, because in a lot of ways, I think that Linda's leadership style is very much to kind of trust and kind of like give. So I would say the idea and the directive was that the museum wanted growth, and the museum wanted people to realize that we were really, really going forward heavily with contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I would say what's really interesting though is that as things have kind of changed, we've continuously changed how we're approaching that as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we went from wanting to make the statement that we're very serious about contemporary art, and that, you know, that we're real players in this scene, especially in San Francisco, to now it's actually more about and as we did that, we discovered that we were really good, or we were really situated in a nice place to be almost like an incubator for mid-career artists,
yeah,
right? And so like there are artists like Toyin Oji Odutola, who we did exhibitions with, and then like following their solo exhibition with us, she had a show in the Whitney, right? Or artists like Kenyatta A.C. Hinkle, who at the time was represented by Karen Jenkins Johnson Gallery, did a major solo show with us, and then had a show that was picked up by like the San Francisco Art Commission and so on. So for us, I think as this time comes on now, a lot of the messaging, a lot of the our directives, a lot of what we want to do, I think, is actually now saying, like, not only are we really serious about art, but we're actually like where you can come to see who's going to be like the next.
Yeah, you're like artist, you're like, right? Becoming a launching point.
We're
for
becoming
some.
A launching point. For yeah, sure, yeah. Right. So like even as far as like, you know, collectors are concerned, we're becoming like very interesting to them.
Sure.
Because it's kind of like, you know, like Black art is really hot right now, and it's getting hotter. And now people are like, okay, like who is like the next Kerry James Marshall who I should be collecting? Mm-hmm. Who's the next Micheline Thomas? And especially like, you know, to be in San Francisco and be able to like do that, is that's actually very powerful.
Sure.
So in a lot of ways we've been leaning into that, mm-hmm, and like really been going with that and trying to get a lot of that messaging out. So I think that's the thing. I mean, like I think that's what's exciting about here actually,
sure,
is that like we kind of like change and I don't want to say make up our own directives, because I think Linda's leadership has mostly been about making sure that we're, I think especially in my position, I think this is my perspective, especially because of what I do, it's really about being as innovative as possible at all times, right? So a lot of the conversations that Linda and I will have, even as I report directly to her, are more about, are we staying on top of the new ideas, right? Like, what are we doing to just make sure that we're connecting with people in a real way, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think maybe one of the best examples of this too is kind of like my way of kind of working with that is, so if we're about artist discovery and these are things we're doing, one of the things I did was I created a Spotify, right? Mm-hmm. And so for us, it's just a way that we can, one, just like people will be playing. Like you're walking around your life, you're playing your Moad like playlist, right? It's actually music that's like super relevant to people, right? So it's
right,
like Janelle Monae. It's like cool stuff. It's not gonna just be like, you know, some like boring museum playlist.
Sure.
Right? Like we have like our, you know, like our people who are in the front of house who are like 25 and under, like making our playlist and like making sure it's like,
sure,
it's hot, you know? And so like for us, like I think for me, it's like a lot of that, and it's like a lot about saying like, okay, what's a way that like we can get this idea out without just telling you like, oh, we're discovering new artists, right?
Right.
Like you could listen to our Spotify, hear like these new musicians, and come to the museum, see art you've never seen before.
Sure.
Like I think that's a very like holistic experience that I can like give someone. So
yeah,
a lot of it is like kind of stuff like that. It's kind of like,
yeah,
this always changing. How can we just stay like
You're staying current.
Yeah, stay current, stay relevant. I think that's a lot of it. It's just like, how can we just like stay relevant?
You know? Yeah, it's interesting because like when I first visited here, I think that's one of the things that I just like caught me. One, caught me off guard in a good way, and two, like made me want to come back the next time you guys rotate a new show in here was how unbelievably contemporary, how innovative, and like just like everything felt new and different, and it was stuff that I never seen before, work that I'm not familiar with, and I was okay with that because like I wanted to see that, and I, you know, there's tons of museums in the city here, other art museums in the city, you know, and occasionally they'll do a contemporary show, but to have the entire museum be contemporary, I don't think that's an easy thing to find.
No.
Especially in the country as well. There's not a lot of really truly contemporary shows, and I think you guys done that, and you're even doing it not just in the shows themselves, but you're doing it like even in the marketing. You're talking about Spotify. Like I've never, can't imagine like some other, like I can't imagine the De Young doing that, having a Spotify account.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you guys are really trying to embrace like really what's becoming norms. Everyone has a Spotify account. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I laughed the other day when a friend of mine was like, oh, like, do you have a Spotify account? And my friend who's a college roommate of mine, my exact same age, and was like, no, why would I have a Spotify account? I'm like, are you crazy? Like everybody has a Spotify account. Yeah. It's free. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you guys are really embracing that. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are assuming because you've become current and you read and you know what's up that most people have a Spotify account. So why not have one?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, and I think that's the thing. Like, and so many museums have the privilege of being able to kind of like just like rest on their laurels and be like, people will come because like they know about us. But for us, we don't have that. And so we actually have to like get out in people's face and be a part of their lives.
Sure.
So, and I think it helps.
Well, and speaking of current, like, I mean, so one of the exhibitions that are currently on exhibit right now is called Digitalia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, referring back to a few minutes ago when I was mentioning to you about how digital art for the most part is probably still seen as a new medium for art. I mean, and again, staying current, if not looking to the future, you guys did an entire exhibit that enabled to see the work is through an app, which is really cool. I mean, you just showed it to me downstairs that I was like, what? Like, and I mean, you know, on the wall, to describe it for some of the listeners, on the wall, there's like designed symbols like already painted, which in itself I was like, that's art in itself. And then when you put the iPad, when you pointed the iPad camera to it to see on the screen that in fact that is not necessarily the art itself. It's really the image that appears on the screen when you point at it. And it interacts, like it moves, it changes colors. I mean, there's different things that the images do, but you know, is that something you were heavily involved with your experience of being a digital artist yourself?
Yeah.
Whose idea was that to even bring it? And what was the reception so far you've had for that?
Yeah. So the way Digitalia came together was really cool. So there's so the idea came from another online curator who goes by the name of Lady Phoenix. And you could find her at the Yes Universe, just Yes Universe Art. On Instagram and stuff like that. She's very prominent. She also does the curation over at HuffPost Arts, stuff like that. She's been very supportive of my career and of everything that I've done with Felt. And it was really cool. We met a few years ago. She just reached out to me personally. And when she reached out to me, somebody had written about us. There's a lot of like, kind of like institutions, like colleges, and like a lot of this art scene is actually a lot bigger in Europe, and so there's also a lot of like European publications who have mentioned us, and so I guess she was doing some research and found out about the work we were doing, found out where we were based in San Francisco, where she lives as well, and wanted to do a meeting. When we met, she found out that I also work at the Museum of the African Diaspora. That wasn't even like even like a part of the discussion. So she was meeting with me and she was talking to me about how she's looking for space to do this augmented reality exhibition, and how it had a lot to do with like race and culture, but she was really excited about like showing a lot of the digital art that like I was sharing, that she was sharing through like a new medium.
Sure.
And so while she's telling me about like all that she needs space, like all this stuff, I'm like, you know, like I work like, we were meeting at a coffee shop. I was like, you know, I work like right there. And I point at Moad. She's like, what? Like, no way. So it was just really exciting. It was like, she wanted to be at Moad for a long time. We had just met because of Felt. And so that's what I mean. Like, there's always like, and especially in these last few years, it's interesting because they've been oddly separate and now they're merging so much. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we meet, she finds out that I'm at Moad. And pretty much over a few years, there were, and that's what I think is interesting. Like, this exhibition works partially because of its timing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we would have done this exhibition when we had actually first met a few years ago, the technology honestly wasn't as smooth as it is now, mm-hmm. right? And so it would have went up, and it would have had like, you know, considerably a lot more glitches, where we pretty much only had like maybe like two or three down days in this freaking like 4 month run of this exhibition, which is great. And so, yeah, we've kind of, it's been a mix of waiting for the right for the technology to catch up. Pretty much as soon as that was ready, Phoenix sat down, she wrote an amazing proposal. She had this idea, and we kind of actually went through a few different like app creators to kind of work with to make the experience that you see.
Yeah.
Because part of it was that there are people who do AR very well, but they don't do art well.
Yeah.
And there are people who do art well, but they don't do the technology well. So we really had to find like the perfect fit to that. It wasn't, because I mean, especially in San Francisco, there's so much tech art. Mm-hmm. And I put the tech first because it's really about the tech. And then whatever the art is just like whatever.
Right.
Like
it's
just
cool about the colors. That's
it. Yeah, they're just cool colors and shapes. But like it's really about the technology, right?
Right.
And for me, I think it's always important that, like, especially in this context, that the art's first, right? Mm-hmm. It's about art, and then the technology can be cool, it can support that, but really the art has to be strong. And so that's what we did. I mean, our exhibitions director, Emily, she got the proposal. She was kind of like, she kind of looked at me. She was like, do you know Phoenix? Phoenix says she kind of knows her. I was like, I know her very well. Let's do this. Let's please go. As soon as our exhibitions team was open to it, I was like, yeah, let's go. And I would even say like that process of seeing, you know, of even our exhibitions team here, they've been super supportive of everything I've done with Felt. Like they've even come to like Felt events that I've put together. And I think for me, that's been another thing. I think for so long I was like fighting against the institutions, worried that they would never like support us. And I think, me being in the position I am, having the exposure, I would say, like, and I don't want to give myself like that all the credit, but I think that did help to change perception a little mm-hmm. bit, because, you know, being able to have, you know, our exhibitions team see what I do, enjoy it, see the art in it, and then for someone else to write a proposal, bring that over, like that circle of support, I think is super important, right?
Sure.
And it's usually the little things that lead up to the big things, right?
Yeah.
So I think like in that way, a lot of the work that we've done and just like staying in galleries, doing this stuff, I feel like, even though this exhibition, Digitalia, is not a quote unquote Felt exhibition, I'm here. Everyone knows that.
Right.
So it's kind of like, it is in a way as well, right? Like my art's in it. A lot of our artists, are in it. And so that's what's been really fun too, is like, it feels like we were a part of this moment.
Right.
A lot of the artists, like, you know, like there's a lot of artists who I've known for years who would like personally thank me, and like, you know, their placement in this show took their career even further. Like someone like Jaron Braxton, this year he won Sundance Film Festival for animation. We then like had that animation here in our museum. And then now he's like following that up with like a like series everywhere, more Adult Swim work. Like that to me is like really exciting, because it's like, you know, that means that I feel like I'm also, that's another part of my job that I can do here.
Well, and also feels like you're a little bit a part of it too, right?
For sure.
Right.
For
like you've helped like contribute to this, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not just like some employee. You're like really feeling like you're part of the creation part of it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure. And I think. I mean, I feel like that's probably like one of the really interesting things about our dynamic here, which I don't see reflected in a lot of other spaces, is like all of our departments work super close, right? So if we're putting together a symposium, you know, our education team is talking to our programs team, who's talking to the exhibitions team, and they're all trying to figure it out. And we all figure it out together, right? So like as we put content together, we really do consult with each other and like reach back. So for me, that's been really cool. And like I said, but also to work with people who are open-minded enough to not just straight up say like, nah, you work here, you can't have art here. You
know what
I mean?
Yeah.
But there are some people who would just make that rule. And, I mean, you could totally respect that.
Yeah.
But, you know, our team is open-minded enough to say, like, no, okay, like, if the curator of this show feels like you're important enough to this community where you should be in it, then you should be in it. And
yeah.
I just think, like, even just having that view and being able to work with people who have that perspective has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I want to thank you again for coming on.
Of course. This has been super fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've learned so much about you, about the work, about digital art in general, like, and even about here, about MOAD. But before I wrap it up, I wanted to ask you to kind of plug a few things, upcoming for you on your end in terms of felt and your work.
Yeah.
You have anything coming up, like show-wise? So, or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that I have coming up is in September, I'm going to be doing a show. I have a solo show at Swim Gallery. And I'm excited about that show because it's going to be a chance for me to also show a lot, I think, another side of me. So I'm going to be doing, there'll be digital work, but they're going to be printed.
Yeah.
And they're going to be pretty large scale. They'll probably be like 6 feet by 6 feet.
Sure.
I'm also going to be designing clothes that I'll have there. And so I think it'll be really interesting because I think it's a way for me to really build upon and grow the aesthetic that I've been doing for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of ways for me too, I'm always one of those people, I'm always looking for like what's next, you know?
Yeah.
So I think even in a lot of the ways that I think people have started to like understand digital art or certain ways, like VR, all these things are I think there is some kind of consciousness that's been gaining. So I think even now in a lot of ways, I'm always trying to figure out like, okay, like what's next? And I think that goes two ways. Like, I think for a lot of artists that have been working in these mediums, I feel like I'm in a position because of the museum where I've also understand studio art and like how to produce at, you know, just a piece at museum quality.
Sure.
So I want to apply that to this medium that, you know, I know for a fact most of these artists don't have that access. They're not thinking about mm-hmm. that. So like, how can I apply certain things in my life that I've learned to make a show? That's a large part of what I want to do next. And then in the same way, just also, you know, recognizing that as this genre or whatever you want to call it starts to really like develop itself and grow, there's always the natural, like this naturalness to go towards having certain styles
mm-hmm.
and just certain, you know, there's just always going to be certain cliches that come up. So I think I've been, I'm always trying to kind of like pick those up and move away from those as quick as possible. And so I think that's also just kind of what's always on my brain. So yeah, there'll be a lot of that. I think I want to use like my own personal art, like I said, my own shows to really like kind of push the idea of what could happen. Same with like music or clothes. Like I have, I'm really seriously trying to look into how I could make my own clothing company, how we could look into making like a record label. I think as far as like our future is concerned, we'll continue to have like our monthly events and things that pop up, but I really want to get to a position where all of the medium and all the medias that I really, really am interested in can actually start to be explored.
Cool. And then Digitalian and the other show, After the Thrill Is Gone, ends at the end of this month.
Yeah, those shows.
What's next after that?
Yeah, so those shows that we have here go down on August 27th. Following that, we're going into some of the most exciting shows we've pretty much ever had. We have a show called Second Look Twice, collections from the Jordan D. Snitzer collection. The pieces they're prints. And they're really just from like some of the most like famous, incredible like Black artists that are out right now. So people like Micheline Thomas. We have people like from like the Gies Ben quotes. It's like really great stuff. Martin Perrier. And then another one is a painter named Fikre Gebrezus, who's who's an Etrian painter. And so those shows are great. Following after that, we're going to have the Studio Museum in Harlem. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having their collection here on the West Coast for the first time.
Wow.
We're the first, and they're going to be having a touring exhibition, but we're the first place that is touring. Wow. And we're the only cultural institution or museum that is going to. So for us, that's a really big deal. For the studio, it's a really big deal because we're going to kind of like be their prototype for how they roll this out and how they continue to tour that show. And then following that, we'll have our exhibition called Coffee, Rum, Sugar, and Gold, mm-hmm. which is an exhibition of contemporary art, which all looks at the actual like economics impact and just like the economic output of the slave trade.
Yeah.
So it's like this very like interesting look at it. And it's also our first show that we're creating here. And then that will tour out. So that's another thing is like we've gone from being a place that kind of like where we're looking for like cool stuff, trying to pick up the new stuff to like now we're just like straight up making it.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we found this really interesting curator. Let's just put this show together. And, you know, and then now we'll tour it to like the University of Texas and to like, you know, Brooklyn and like all these places.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing all that, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on again. And.
Oh. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll love to have you back on again later. But yeah. Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Mark for coming on to the podcast. For more information about upcoming programming at MOED, visit moedsf.org. To learn more about Felt, the experimental internet platform and artist collective that Mark founded, visit news.feltzine.us or follow them on Instagram or Twitter at FeltZine. To learn more about Mark himself and the various projects he works on, visit mark.feltzine.us. Finally, visit the podcast website at artscenepc.com to view all of the pictures and links associated with Mark and his work. And please be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, everyone.